What's good, Flavor Fest family? What is going on? We back with another episode, and I know some of you guys are like on a, if you're a church leader right now, you probably, hopefully are on a spiritual high from what just happened this past Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, celebrated the resurrection of Jesus, and man, I know at churches all over the world, extra people came, God showed up. People came back to their faith in Jesus. People found Jesus for the first time. I'm hearing so many stories from so many of my different friends that are pastors and just different people that are leaders in churches. And tell me about the great stuff that just took place. Here at Crossover Church, it was an amazing Sunday. It was actually the largest Sunday in our church's history. Like the most people attended ever, which I mean absolutely blew our mind, being that it's, you know, we're coming out of the pandemic, and it was just incredible. We had 83 families come for the very first time. We added an additional service at 8:30. We weren't sure how many people were going to show up because it's mad early and, you know, more of an urban crowd. But man, even at the 8:30 service, we had like 350 people show up. We were blown away. And but the greatest part about the whole day, I mean, was great worship and arts and a message and everything, but 140 people responded to the gospel. And literally, like, we did old school this past Sunday, like stand up and walk down in the front and go over to the prayer room so we can connect with you and get your information to follow up with you. And we gave them a book and some resources, Bibles to some people as well. And 140 people, like, literally stood up and walked out of the room between the three services. So we're celebrating that. We've been doing a lot of follow-up this week. But man, we're on a spiritual high of what God is doing. We started a new series called Dangerous Jesus on my guy KB's book. And you probably have heard about that if you're in this space. If you didn't know, KB is an author now. And KB also wrote the foreword to my last book called Frames. And so he's a writer, man, and his book is powerful. So we launched a series on Dangerous Jesus. We're going to be doing that for the next 6 weeks. And KB is going to be with us at Crossover Church this Sunday, with which if you're watching this, that will be the 16th of April. So even if you're not obviously in the Tampa Bay area, you can tune in, tap in online, and watch. We're really excited about this Sunday. We're going to be doing a big water baptism as well. But hey, I'm really excited. So celebrating Easter and Jesus, I'm celebrating with you. Type in a chat like how was Easter at your church, the Resurrection Sunday. But I'm really excited today because we got a brother with us from NYC, from the Big Apple, and we are coming to New York City. When I say we, I mean the Flavor Fest team. We're bringing Flavor Fest on the road. First time ever bringing it to New York City. Saturday, April 22nd. If you are anywhere near New York City, even if you 2-3 hours away, like jump in the car, come hang out with us that day. We're going to have some incredible general sessions, some breakout workshops, some fellowship, networking, connections, encouragement. We're going to have some fun together. I mean, leaders, we've been going through a lot the last couple of years. We just need to have some fun and get together. And man, for some of you, you haven't been to a conference or an event since before the pandemic. Come on out. And then that night, we got the big concert. And we got 1K Few as the headliner. And then we got a bunch of incredible New York City artists that are going to be opening up. So flavorfest.org has the details. Come see us. We're going to be in Queens, New York City, Saturday, April 22nd. And so today, I got a brother with me that's going to be there. And you're going to meet him in just a second. So let's go.
Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna.
Yeah, so thank you for tapping in. Flavor Fest Urban Leadership podcast, conference, summit, all that stuff. And so, hey, if you like what you're seeing here, subscribe on the channel, like the video, let some people know about it. And we're going to dive right in. We got a brother from New York City, my man Michael Link, and he's going to jump in right now. So what's up, bro? How you feeling?
Praise God. Grace and peace. How am I sounding here?
Man, you sound good, bro. So I'll tell you what, we're doing this live on YouTube right now, but we're going to go live on IG as well.
I'm ready. I got
hear the train in the background. Man, there's never a train that comes by crossover except when I'm on the podcast.
Except when you're on the podcast.
Every Friday now at noon, it's popping off. So, all right, cool. So jump in, man, on here, and I'll invite you to jump in. So we're on YouTube, we're on IG, and I know some of you guys are watching this on the replay or listening to this on different podcast platforms. We're on Spotify. We are on... Okay, cool. I'm inviting you. Come on, jump in, man. Can you ask yourself to join?
Yep. All right, hitting cool. Accept right now.
All right. So, man, how's New York City right now, bro?
Well, so I am New York City BX stand up all day, every day. The Lord Bronx. Just recently, this past year, allowed my wife, Elise, and I to become homeowners. And wow. God, and though I thought I would never leave New York City, we both thought we would never leave New York City. God had worked on our hearts, and he planted us in Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, so you New Jersey.
Still providing services, still serving. Yes, our home church is New Life International, New Life Outreach International in the Bronx, New Life Bronx for short, if you ever want to check them out. Shout out to my pastor, my spiritual father, Reverend Dr. Fernando Cabrera. And how is New York? Like, it is surprisingly hot. Like, I was texting with Sierra, keeping her updated with the weather and stuff.
We bringing some of the heat up there, that Florida heat. We're going to turn up next weekend.
It's been 80 degrees the past couple of days. Like, what's up with that? It's been 80 degrees. Sorry, hold on. Let me clean that lens a little bit. There we go. It's been 80 degrees. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful weather. It hasn't been, like, too humid. So, grateful for that. The weather is turning. It's going to be lowering down, so it's gonna be a lot cooler by next week on my birthday.
That's projecting. Right, man. So we got Flavor Fest happening and Link's birthday on the same day.
Yep.
It's a setup. It's a setup, man. We gotta come on. I gotta give you my little keyboard here is not working today, man. I got sound effects on here. It's not working right now, man. It's supposed to be like doing some claps for you right now, but I don't know.
I heard him. I heard him.
Oh, you heard him?
I heard him. Yeah, okay. I heard him.
I didn't hear him in my AirPods, man, so I don't know. Anyways, yeah, man. So, Ned, tell just a little bit of history, even how, like, you, how we got connected and how you knew about Flavor Fest.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's me, by the way, trying to join in another way. I thought it might be better with the whole computer setup, just for the quality of the podcast and stuff. So, that's me. Ringing you. But man, so I consider myself, I'm not going to give you, you know, how church folk do, right? Like, we give you the whole, you know, I was born in 1986 and I consider myself, and this is, it's funny every time I talk to somebody about it, but I consider myself Rapzilla generation of Christian hip hop. When I first got saved, my first introduction to CHH or gospel rap or Christian rap, however folks want to associate with it, was to a CD. My youth pastor at the time, he's now associate pastor, but my youth pastor at the time gave me a CD of the Concrete Angels.
Oh yeah,
Concrete Angels. On there was, oh my gosh, you had a K-Drama, you had Richie Righteous, of course, had several tracks on there. You had Lavoisier, you had, awesome. Man, you had just, it was a crazy compilation. And it was a mixtape, like that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It was a mixtape in CD form. And that was my introduction to it. But I idolized hip hop culture so much that I then wanted to become that. And that's what led to kind of my trauma. And we can get into my testimony a little later, but led to me being a high-risk youth, going through crazy traumatic situations, being pronounced dead on the operating table by the time I was 18, right? Mm. And But I was totally in love with hip hop culture and hip hop music. But now I get saved. I'm a part of a non-denominational contemporary Christian kind of, you know, Elevation Worship, Hillsong, right? That's the type of music. It wasn't really my vibe, but amen. Yeah. I was head over heels.
That's all you knew.
Head over heels for Jesus. And that's what I got acclimated to. And we'll just keep it going on here. I'm gonna close this. Sorry. I got acclimated to it, and God removed me from like hip hop. Like I had no taste, no desire for it throughout all my music, so on and so forth. And I just ran that. I still have it to this day. I had that Concrete Angels CD on repeat
Was that the joint that had like Richie Righteous's song "Flip the Channel"?
Flip the channel. Yep.
Yes.
Flip the channel.
Yeah. Yes. That was the jam right there. That came out through American Bible Society. I think produced that and pushed it out, if I'm recalling correctly. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yes. Yeah. So Flip the Channel was on there. You had Let It Bang, that K-Drama joint. And it's funny because I think he remixed it recently, like in the past year or so, he remixed that song. And it was just so nostalgic. And I was just like, I was totally like drawn to this because I'm like, I'm from hip hop culture. I'm from the Bronx. And man, I got to learn more about this. So I started, you know, looking online. I was attending college at the time. And yo, YouTube was my friend. So I'm sorry to all my artist friends and every artist, but I was that guy that was downloading the link and using the converter so that I can get the MP3 version so that I can listen to music. I was pirating music because one, I was broke. And I just got saved and I wasn't using like Napster or anything like that. Right. So, man, and then I found Rapzilla. I found Jam the Hype. I found New H2O, which at the time before it was acquired, New H2O was the place to get anything kind of underground Christian hip hop. Right. Mm-hmm. And those are my sources. Like I remember Rapzilla had an app to listen to music. They had it directly downloaded in the app. So I was able to I didn't have to do that anymore. And now folks is getting their streaming revenue.
Jam the Hype had an app too. That was Jam the Hype that had it as well. And I would always listen to that when I would be like cutting the grass. I'd be in my car, whatever. Listen, and man, they had everything on there. It was Chris Chicago was the one that was kind of like the host of it. And he did like a 4-hour show every week and that played on the Jam the Hype app. And yeah, people got paid from that too. Yeah.
Yes. So, man, I remember, like, I was me and ironically enough, before we even really knew each other and knew we had such an affinity for Christian hip hop, the bro DJ Lawson found James Hardy. We come from the same home church, okay? Mm-hmm. Him and I were battling each other with the top, like, the number one listener on the app on Rapzilla. Like, we were number one, number two, and then we, like, switch up. And that's how I got exposed to all the other artists, Selah the Corner, Alano Adan when he was Flo, and then, you know, right before he was with Tom, got a money for a short period, got introduced to Bizzle, got introduced to, G-O-M, stand up.
Got huge the shirt on.
Of everybody in God of Money, got exposed to Bumps, INF, and that's what kind of, like, increased my palate, and I was just like, yo, these are, like, spitters, and like, it's substance, it's feeding my spirit, it's not glorifying all the things that I was attached to and idolizing, and that's how I came to, like, I was just exploring and seeing things, and the things that were being promoted and associated and affiliated with Rapzilla, Jam the Hype, New H2O, then I started following artists, and then I started seeing what they were posting, and then that got put on, you know, huge 116, you know, Unashamed, all those projects, they really ministered to me. Yo, I used to do like Bible studies to all of Shy Lin's projects, right? Like, so my palette as far as like Christian hip hop goes everywhere from like super lyrical theology, let's get in, like dig down into it, the attributes of God and lyrical theology 1 and 2. And then, you know, Shy Lin and that whole Humble Beast camp and just, man, all the way to more, I hate to like even label or categorize, but like, you know, pop, feel good, or, you know, just real gritty
radio stuff, you know,
commercialized. And then really where my heart is the gritty, the very real life, urban, straight up hip hop, hip-hop what it was as at its inception. It was all about culture. It was about faith. It was about current events and society. And that's how I came to know about Flavor Fest and got put on to you. I don't even know how the direct connection happened. I think I reached out to you through Instagram, honestly, just to be able to connect with you.
I hit you up on IG the other day, and I looked back, and it was a couple years ago when, we were still in the middle of the pandemic. I think it was like the end of 21, and I was like, man, I'm doing this tour to help churches rebuild as we're, you know, coming out of the pandemic, hopefully soon, right? It's kept dragging on. But, you know, our church had did all these things during the pandemic that was causing us to actually thrive and grow. And I'm like, man, I want to just go around and help churches and share this in different cities. So I did that, you know, in several different cities. And I remember you reached out to me like, yo, I want to bring you to New York sometime this year and definitely have that happen.
Yes, because at the time, I think you were revving up and promoting Frames. Your book, you were also just like, yo, you were like that person that just got saved and they want to tell everybody about Jesus. And right? You were.
But I've been like saved for a minute.
You still got that level of excitement, which is why I love you. I love you.
Thank you, man.
But it was also just about equipping the church and other urban leaders on everything that you discovered and was experiencing real time as far as the resources available and the systems and the, you know, best practices as far as keeping the church healthy. Because, man, the reality is that COVID didn't only kind of destroy business. It didn't only destroy like the entertainment field. I mean, in certain aspects, it destroyed and kind of hurt things as far as live events and
social events. Yeah, the brick and mortar stuff.
But, you know, streaming and everything else, you know, it kind of blew up, but because everybody was catching in their homes. But you just came out like with this fire, like, yo, there's resources, the federal government, you know, PPP, how to apply for it. Like if you have church staff, if you have people that's on staff, and you were just spreading the word. And even though it wasn't applicable to me at the time, because my home church, we nobody's on staff. Everybody's volunteer. Even our pastor has never collected a salary from the church, his choice, although he has every right to do so. So he's Bible. He's almost like quadro vocational, but
he got four jobs.
He works with the city of New York, and he was a city councilman for two terms.
Wow.
Wasn't his plan. He didn't have no idea to do it before. He had no heart or desire to do that, but God pushed him to do that, and God used him in that time. Mm-hmm. So, man, even though it wasn't applicable to me directly at the time or to my home church, I was sharing that with everybody.
Yeah.
Listen, you got church on staff, you pastors, spread the word. And we were trying to kind of make it happen. And, you know, I think everybody was just trying to rev things back up and recuperate from COVID. And that's how we just kept talking. We just kept talking about like, yo, let's further this conversation. Let's talk about bringing this, to New York and to the tri-state area.
Yeah, now we coming, man, but we bringing the whole squad. Like our worship team is coming. Several people from our leadership team are going to be doing some workshops as well. So we're bringing like the whole package. Before it was just like me going to a few places, you know, but now we just said, man, we're going to take Flavor Fest on the road and really, you know, reach leaders in that city that might not be able to come all the way to Tampa to our conference that we have here. So let's take it to them and let's pour into them. And listen, I've said this multiple times. I don't know if this is going to become a regular thing. Our team is praying about it, and we're just going to see what God does, what happens. But what we do know is we're called to do it in 2023. For such a time as this, because so many leaders are tired and worn out and discouraged, and the pandemic has, you know, left a lot of leaders in a place where they're discouraged. And we're like, man, people need encouragement. They need new resources. They need fresh innovation. They need fellowship. And so we're going to go to them. And so we feel the responsibility and the mantle that in 2023, that's what God's called us to do. And we've been watching them put the pieces together. It's a little scary because we're busy running our church that's growing and thriving. And you know, we're bigger now than we were 3 years ago before the pandemic. I mean, it's just crazy.
Only God could do something like that.
Yeah, I know that sounds weird. But so you can imagine, like, we have more people, more responsibility, more stuff going on here. But God's called us to say, okay, I want you to also share what's going on here and take that out to leaders. And so he's providing the resources. He's providing the capacity as well. And we got a great team, and the team is really excited. I was praying this morning about, man, I believe God's going to do something special, even with our team that's going to go to these different cities and travel together this year. It's gonna be a lot of fun as well, and growth for us together. So, but yeah, man, so today, bro, I want to, like, talk about, so the title of today's podcast is Creating Self-Sustainability in the Hood. And so that's a passion of mine. Let me just set it up a little bit for you, and then I want you to share what you're doing in New York. But a passion of mine is always, like, evangelism. I'm excited to tell people about Jesus, right? So they find Jesus, that's awesome, but they also have all these other issues in their life. And so I've always tried to, like, take a holistic approach to how can we help you in this brokenness that you're in. Yes, Jesus is going to spiritually put you back together, but you need a job. You need skills. You need a career. You need to change some of your habits. You need soft skills. You need a plan. Maybe you're an entrepreneur, but you've been, you know, doing some things the wrong way. You need systems. You need to do your taxes right. You need, you know, all those kind of things. So
talk about it.
Yeah, that's always been my passion, because the church is not all churches. Some churches that want to help are great at what's called betterment. Meaning, like, we'll make your situation better today. Here's a bag of groceries. Here's a backpack for your kid for school, school supplies in it. Here's some presents for Christmas, because you can't afford to get any presents for Christmas. You know, and so those are what's considered betterment. So you make that person's life better that day, that moment, that week or whatever. But they're going to need groceries next week. They're going to need another backpack next year. And they might be upset that you don't have any purple backpacks left, you know. And so you can almost create some entitlement.
That is real. You can almost
create a system of, like, where people are just like, here, what else you got for me? Well, you should be giving this to me. Come on. And, you know, so it's that tension of, like, man, you want to make people's lives better. And that can create a bridge to build a relationship with someone when you serve them, when you meet a need, when you love them with no strings attached. But at the same time, then, we don't just want to make your life better. Betterment, we want there to be development. We want to help you develop, not only to, like, you know the old saying, you give a man a fish, you know, that's great. Their day is better. But if you teach them the fish.
Teach them the fish, absolutely.
We could take it even a step further. And I love my one friend, Myron. He says, but man, if you can teach them how to own the pond, you know what I'm saying? And
there's
ownership. Yeah, yes. Man, that takes it to the next level. Yes. So to build and create urban entrepreneurs, and or even just people, if they're not an entrepreneur, just to be excellent at your job, to, like, show up on time, to work hard. And if you do that and you have a solid work ethic, you're going to rise to the top. You're going to get noticed. And if you're living for Jesus and that's all over you, like, why do you do this? It gives you opportunities to share about who you are and why you function and move the way that you move. And so man, that's been my heart. So we do a bunch of stuff at Crossover. I'll mix it in as we're talking. But, man, talk to me about what you're doing in New York City and how you're I know you were talking about creating social enterprise. So you're using some of those big words. So talk to me, man, about BeWise.
So praise God. So I am CEO and founder of BeWise Incorporated.
The which CEO is on here. Let's go.
I'm the chief executive officer and founder of BeWise Incorporated. Now, I'd be remiss not to kind of give the history of this and why it developed to what it is today, because this is what funds and informs and just fuels the social impact work. Okay. So my background is that I've been in social services for over a decade, it's about a decade and a half, 15 years. And I've done everything from working with high-risk, at-risk youth at the actual detention level, working in the Close to Home initiative. I was actually a part of the first Close to Home initiative where they brought youth from upstate New York and then brought them back into the city so that they could be close to home and so that their families can visit them. And that it was more of a restorative justice practice and therapeutic model to transition young folks, that teenagers between the ages. Yo, we had 11-year-olds in there. They're serving sentences for crime, right? Wow. 11 all the way up into 18 years old, because, you know, once they hit 18, depending on what the charge was, how much how long they were serving, then they, you know, they would transition into an adult facility. So everything from the Close to Home Initiative, kids serving sentences, right? Excuse me, young men, young women serving sentences. I was a part of that initiative when it transitioned from the Office of Children and Family Services to the Administration for Children's Services, ACS, right? That transition to becoming a court liaison now was on the opposite end of it. And I was basically a mediator and a representation to be able to pitch a program for alternative to detention, alternative to incarceration. They would come to us. We would make sure they're going to school, you know, do programming with them, curricula, feed them, and make sure they were staying out of trouble and away from police contact, right? While they were facing trial, while they were on trial, while they were going to court, family court, criminal court, right?
These are all teenagers, right?
Yes, these are all teenagers, right? And then that transitioned to me launching the first in-house school conflict mediation program, because at the same time, what the city of New York did was they took a model called Cure Violence, which is a public health to gun violence. And it, you know, that's a whole nother conversation for another time. But what New York does best, we took something, a model, a best practice, and we made it our own. And what we did is we added wraparound services to that. Okay. So not only was it credible messengers going out in the street interrupting violence, we had outreach workers that were also providing support services. And then we had wraparound services. So school conflict mediation, we figured, well, if we don't work with the kids while they're in school, before they get recruited or while they're getting recruited by the gangs out in the neighborhoods, then we're failing. Like we're always going to be reactionary with the work that we're doing. We need to get into the preventative areas. So we started working. And so I launched one of the first inceptions in New York City for school conflict mediation that was done in-house, because prior to that, it was just given to like an after-school program. No shade to any other organizations that do this stuff, but they were incredible messengers. A lot of the times the directors of these programs were not from the actual communities that they were serving. And they were doing a dance program. They were doing homework help. But the type of kids you target and don't even go to school. So they're definitely not going to an after school program. So this was the first time that it was done by credible messengers. And I'm talking about that God is crazy. I was at one point I was the court liaison. I was the school conflict mediator at the inception point of developing this program. And I was transitioning to becoming an outreach worker supervisor for a Cure Violence site. And my entire team, we were developing, recruiting a team, all did football numbers in prison. So these are all returning citizens that were once a plague and a pain to the community, now got their best foot forward. And man, like, they don't know this. They don't know this, but I was discipling them. I was ministering to them, to their needs, soft skills, hard skills, all of this stuff, developed the team. And then the opportunities within these realms, and that I'm super grateful for that organization. You actually might be very familiar with the organization. Reverend Wendy Calderon Payne runs Urban Youth Alliance International. They have a program called Bronx Connect. I'm very grateful for my time there. I learned and gleaned so much professionally. And I just kept duplicating programs and curriculum and stuff over and over and over again. And that's when the city decided, hey, we want to offer you some contracts to go do this work. Let's pause right there. While all of this is happening, I'm getting my education. Praise God. In 2020, through COVID, my wife got her master's degree in early childhood education. My bachelor's degree after, and I always struggled with school. I hated school my entire life, but always performed well on like tests and grades and stuff. But I struggled with just physically attending school. So I got to go to school online, Grand Canyon University. I have a bachelor's in behavioral health sciences with a focus on family dynamics and trauma. So that's my educational background. like three quarters of the way through a master's in clinical mental health administration. Okay. So that's the educational side of it.
Yeah.
The practical side of it is while all these things were happening, I'm still very hip hop. I'm still very Bronx. Mm-hmm. My testimony is that I got shot at 16. I got jumped and stabbed two different occasions when I was 18 and pronounced dead on the operating table when I was shot and pronounced dead on the operating table the second time I got jumped and stabbed because they punctured my lungs. Wow. And I was not only a victim of violence, it was sparked because I was a perpetrator of violence as well. Mm-hmm. And I was getting high and I was promiscuous and I was just wilding out as a young teen, desperate for affirmation, desperate for love and attention in all the wrong ways. And so because I was a high risk youth that by the grace of God survived, and that's not even what led to my salvation. It was humble at times a couple of years after. But I had this passion and desire through creativity, through art, because I used to go by Young Link in the world. And then when I got saved, God, like, let's say, hold up, we're going to take this out of you. We're going to set this aside and we're going to develop you, let you build a foundation in Christ, let you grow in maturity in your faith, build a foundation on Christ. And then in 2012 was when my then youth pastor, Carlos Feliciano, used to go by the First Soldier. He's been in like Gospel Fest. He's done one like McDonald's rap, you know, gospel rap awards and stuff like that. Done shows. He's a lyricist from the Bronx, Puerto Rican. You know what I mean? So I related to that a lot. Yeah. I related to that a lot. Testimony is very similar as far as, you know, growing up, stepdads, you know, absent fathers, that type of thing. And he gave me the opportunity to be on his one and only album that he released. He was like, yo, I want you to feature on it. I was like, what? Okay. And God released me at that moment to do music. Mm. God gave me the okay to get back into it. So now, like, all right, now I'm not just listening to it and getting inundated with Christ-filled, Christ-centered music and culture. I'm allowed to partake in it now, right, on an artistry level. So I was on a song called Changed, and that kind of sparked forward. So in 2012, when I got the okay from God, I was like, yo, I'm going to rap for the Lord. We're going to do shows. We're going to minister. I'm going to write bars for the Lord, right? So be wise because of, shout out to another mentor of mine, Minister Kwame Thompson. His testimony is crazy. He used to go by Sin Q. He was a part of the Money Boss Players. That's the Sex Money Murder Gang. Right? From Soundview Projects in the Bronx, okay? That man, I met him through Bronx Connect Urban Youth Alliance. He was a case manager for the Alternative to Incarceration program while I was in the Alternative to Detention. That's basically just age difference, right? So he was working with the older youth, I was working with younger youth. And man, this man had his own companies, his own merch, his own brand, and he would just like bless me with stuff, and I really enjoyed. I like merchandise. I like t-shirts, graphic tees, hoodies, apparel, fashion. You know, I'm from the BX, and you know, dabbled in Harlem too, so you know, I like to get fresh. And he introduced me to this whole new world of like branding and merchandising to fulfill the purposes of the gospel, to fulfill the purposes of ministry. And I was like, okay. And he encouraged me to start a corporation. That's how BeWise was born. And initially, it was to support my music so I could buy beats. So, and I could use it as a tax write-off. I'm buying beats, pay for production, you know, pay to get merch made because you're an artist, you got to have merch, right? To support your brand. And then that recycles. So now the merch is purchased. You can buy more merch and you bring in the revenue so that I can buy beats and get the beats produced and make music and stuff. But I realized very early on being married and at the time having two young children about to have our third child, I was like, this ain't going to be the life for me, like touring, doing shows. And it picked up very quickly. Like, it wasn't only like pastors, it was like elected officials. I was like on doing block parties, doing shows, festivals and stuff like that. And it like speedballed really quickly. And praise God, the financial need was met at that time. For my family, my growing family. But I knew very early on that touring life and being a full-time artist was not gonna be it. Yeah. I need to focus on the social, the social mm-hmm. aspect of it, of this human service, social service aspect of it. So spent a lot of time in the nonprofit world. And so that was the inception. What I realized very early on, though, being in the nonprofit sector, is that it's all about fundraising. It's all about grants. Yep. It's all about requests for funds and support. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to rely on that because I already saw and witnessed through the leadership that I was under what they were going through. Mm-hmm. And getting that call like, yo, we payroll ain't going to process this week because because the funds ain't come through and it's reimbursement based.
Or you got a big grant contract for a year and you built up the whole organization because now, oh man, we got 400K. And then next year you get nothing from that provider. And it's like now everything's back at square one.
So that was exactly what happened. I was a part of all the meetings leading up to when the city decided through some back office under the table mess. I'm just keeping it real. Because we found out we still got our ears to the streets. We still credible, right? Mm-hmm. And we know how to navigate and code switch. We found out that the city decided to take one of our main contracts of, you know, worth millions of dollars of operation budget per year and gave it to this other organization. Man. Like midway through the fiscal year. And I, like, I remember like the people had to get let go or people, they had to like reallocate funds. And then it was getting dicey. That's why I was working three different positions all at the same time. Yeah. It was completely overwhelming and exasperating. So while I was experiencing that, I realized, and I started to study entrepreneurship. I started to study business, revenue building. I was already, I always had a heart and passion, and I always butted heads with supervisors and stuff because I just, and it's not that I can't be submissive, and it's not that I'm not a good employee, but it's just, I would always reach my cap and God created me to be a catalyst. So wherever I'm confident in this, and this is not to boast on me, this is all on God. Like wherever God has placed me, literally my entire life, even before I got saved, the situation, the environment, the organization, whatever was happening there would increase or it would grow or it would flourish.
That's good.
Because God gave me that ability, that skill, that talent. And God forbid that I bury that in the sand and not use it and multiply for his name's sake. Right. So started revving up Be Wise. And then I flipped the passion for merch and getting the outsource because it was just expensive. It was expensive. And I'm like, yo, we in the fashion district of the world. We in NYC. I could literally go downtown and get stuff wholesale for way cheaper than these folks are quoting me for. And so I got a heat press machine. We invested in a direct-to-garment printing machine. It was a $22,000 machine. It was brand new. It was when direct-to-garment just was kind of introduced. People were still kind of, you know, like leery of it. Does this really work? Is it profitable? And man, praise God, started launching that. And then I started producing merchandise, not only for Be Wise, but I started connecting with artists. I had the opportunity.
So do you get your stuff from the fashion district in New York? Do you go down there?
I ended up, that's where we get all our drip now. I wish I would have had something on now. But if you see anything that's Be Wise that I'm rocking lately, like we got
the same exact
Nike Tech suits. I'll take you downstairs. I'm coming to New York.
I'm coming to New York Friday, and I've never been. Okay. I've been to Chinatown a bunch of times, but I've never been to like the fashion district. But I heard stories about it. Like, you know, you got to go to a certain door and tell a password, and then they take you up some stairs, and it's like real secretive.
Oh, they got rid of all of that. Now you got to have like the official storefront. Yeah.
Okay. That was some of the bootleg stuff. You know, I was talking to some people
or unreleased or like. You know, we used to get like when I was a teen, we used to get the exclusive Jordans.
We fly in next Friday, man. And we got some time, bro. We got to go down and hang out. So anyways, man, so you're doing a lot of merchandising now. Talk about that for a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, so we have access to custom merchandise. So everybody on the Be Wise NYC team, we just kind of like refresh our wardrobe. So we have the same Nike Tech suits that everybody's in love with that overpays for just because they got a Nike logo on it. We have the same tech suits and all types of swags and colorways for our organization. That's our uniform.
Wow, that's dope.
And we got the top and bottom, the set, the jogger set, the Nike Tech suit suits. But it has the B-Wise logo
on it.
You
got your info on it, yeah. That's dope.
It's got our logo on it. And that's just huge. That's ownership, right? That's like, funny story, and I would love to get back to like some context on the evolution of B-Wise. So what we, quick short side testimony. So my son, I got him and I some drip, these new suits, right? Some kids was trying to kind of clown him at school. And it was like, yo, oh, you rocking fake tech suits. Like, what is that? Like, you rocking B-Wise? What is that? And he came to me, he told me, he's like, yo, daddy, like, they was trying to like clown me. And he was unfazed. I'm so proud of my son. He's like so confident who he is. He doesn't care about peer influence or opinions and stuff. But he told me, and I said, the next time they say something about what you're wearing, you ask them, do you have ownership in what you're wearing? Do you have any stocks in Nike? Do you have any stocks in Adidas? Because that's what everybody's rocking over here, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any stock in this? Well, this logo, this brand is mine. And when as soon as I'm old enough to work, I can literally work for my own company and get paid out of it. So backtracking a little bit. So we got this DTG machine. We're doing heat press, doing a couple of, you know, heat transfer type of stuff. I start working with resident associations, churches, even got the link up with a couple of artists. Shout out to my boy, Shawan. He went on tour and I was able to produce a whole, you know, his whole merch line for him to go on tour with. And he, you know, it was profitable for him. I was able to offer that at a discounted rate that was still profitable for me. So I wanted to beat everybody else, make it affordable for the artist so that your profit margin was larger. And then you can use that to further your art and your work. Same thing with a resident association, same thing with a community group, same thing with a church. You can start using this. And that's what I started instilling in folks is like, you can use this as a model to generate revenue. It's merchandise. These aren't just things you get made up and then you give out to the community when you do your barbecue once a year. And then by next year, folks is washing and rewashing and washing. You might see them wear it every so often. They're like, oh yeah, remember I got this last year in the barbecue. But you're not turning that into something that could be sustainable for it. And that's when it clicked for me. At the same time, I was doing podcasts for, I was doing a podcast with the homie Joe Boss Radio of Rise Up Worldwide, based in NYC. Based in New York. He's technically in Long Island, so outside of the boroughs. But New York all day. And it was at that time. Sorry, trying to piece everything together. So while I was still working for a nonprofit organization, experiencing these things with grants and nonprofits and the instability of that, they also paid for me to become a chaplain. So I got trained and certified as a chaplain, crisis management, grief counseling, all of that stuff. They also sent me to the Hispanic Federation in order to get trained, developed, and certified as a grant proposal writer. That right there, I had no idea back in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. Where God was going to use that present day, right? Yeah. So grant proposal writing, you know, building curricula, like data management, data analysis and stuff like that. And I'm just a data junkie naturally, right? I was a nerd before I turned up. And so B-Wise started to shift from, because I was just telling people like what I was thinking about and what I was trying to build. And they was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I need you to show me how to do this. And I was like, well, this is how you do it. And I became a consultant. And B-Wise, and so while I was with Rise Up doing the podcast, we had a need for social media marketing and management. Guess what? I went and got trained and certified, paid, ended up, that was crazy, was broke, but paid $150 to go through some high-tier program to get trained and certified as a social media marketing agency. Turned out it was like the curriculum and the certification was real. The hookup to it, they were basically like stealing people's money. So I ended up getting my money back.
Okay.
So I ended up getting it for free. and got trained and certified as social media marketing management, learned ClickFunnels, learned, you know,
let's go,
search engine optimization, all of this stuff. And I started to implement that within Rise Up Worldwide. Mm-hmm. And then just using my gifts with connecting with folks and just relating and bridging, making connections and stuff. And then we started interviewing folks. Like we started interviewing Wande before she got signed to Reach, and we got mm-hmm. Miles Minnick before anybody even knew who he was. He just started making a buzz. Yeah. We had Derek Minor. We had Chris Broussard, the Fox analyst, talking mm-hmm. about the King movement and this whole national movement that he has going on. We've had amazing stars. So all of this started to like pull together, and mm-hmm. then the pandemic happened, right? And just as we're growing, just as we're kind of expanding, just as kind of I'm getting a vision of BeWise Inc. as a major consultancy in digital services, merchandising, and branding, right? Mm-hmm. Pandemic comes, shuts everything down. I'm working for an organization that I brought contracts to, because at the time I didn't have my nonprofit set up, so I couldn't accept the contracts from the city. So worked it out with another organization. They took the contracts, paid me a salary. I built the program from scratch. That turned from three schools to now 10 schools in the Bronx.
Wow.
Where they're doing school conflict mediation. Mm-hmm. Pandemic happens. Everybody's locked in. What do we do?
Yeah.
I started developing relationships. I got on Clubhouse. I got on Clubhouse at its inception, on beta version. When it was in the beta version, mm-hmm. I got in. I don't even remember who invited me, but that was a godsend. Started connecting with people, started building. And it was literally creating the bio for Clubhouse where God spoke to me and revealed my identity and who I am and how I'm supposed to operate. I am not only a creator, I'm not only a consultant, but I am a catalyst.
Yeah, yeah.
And believe it or not, and this is how we relate. This is how we relate and this is how we connect, is that in the pandemic, at the worst point in time is where BeWise was the most profitable. Mm-hmm. We got out of that, you know, that 5-year period where it's like nothing but losses. You just put it in. It was the most profitable year for BeWise. It was surprising to me, mind blowing, that people that couldn't go anywhere wanted to buy clothes. People were still buying clothes. Yeah. And then in that transition, they wanted to buy merch. Okay, you want to be comfortable in the hoodie?
They couldn't go to the store, so they're on the online store.
So I just started giving game for free and just offering up ideas and just consulting folks and just all for free. I wasn't intending. And then we started getting blessed with opportunities to make money. And coming out of the pandemic and transitioning back into real life, that's when not only was BeWise becoming profitable and self-sustaining in itself to pay for our marketing. So folks look at me now and they see, oh, Profit Link got 45K followers. I did slow. Don't be fooled by that. That's just the algorithm game. We play the game. It's pay to play. Believe me, marketing and social media is pay to play. You have to, some way, shape, or form. Drake, Kylie Jenner, the most followed people in the world. If you go through their follower list and stuff like that, their comments and stuff, you're going to see a lot of automations and stuff like that. However, what that engagement does is it keeps me in front of the target audience, the target population, the people that need what God is offering and giving me the honor and the privilege to be able to administer and share with folks, right? So, man, through Clubhouse, through IG, getting this going, I got with a marketing agency, started offering services through that. The person that put me on to it got a call from God to go do ministry and do outreach and stuff and evangelism. And they was like, hey, I'm going to give you my whole client list.
Wow.
That's so crazy. Just revenue streams started building. And at the same time, I joined Ruslan. Shout out to Ruslan. Karyaglanov.
Yeah.
That's my boy. That is like my real life bro. Got the pleasure to meet him in person when we booked him for a show. A big show that we did in 2019.
Yeah, shout out to Ruslan too. The studio that I'm in right now, he helped come here and set all this up.
Bro, that man is responsible, of course, all glory to God, but he is responsible for a lot of people launching. Like that, the people that I met in that Patreon community, we all grew and blew up together. We all did. You look at Isaac Mathers. You look at a Bart. Everybody knows him as Coffee Black, right? Coffee Black. You're looking at Nick D was blowing around the same time. I'm not saying that's because of Ruslan, but it was happening around the same time.
He's helped him
like
a lot.
So many people. Range, the artist, who's on the lineup for Flavor Fest.
Range. He
took his performance, his music, everything to another level. Like, so many folks came out of that community. What I gathered from that community, from being a part of Patreon, and I was sewing into that. Like, folks don't know. Like, I was contributing. This is not to boast in me, but I was able to, out of the influx of revenue and income through Be Wise, I was able to support these things. So I was supporting, you know, over $100 a month into Hog Mob Ministries and what they were doing for returning citizens in their transitional houses, right? I was able to give over $100 a month to Ruslan's Patreon community. And guess what, folks? That is not only, so Hog Mob is more charitable donations, but my contributions to Ruslan's Patreon community, when he was just, that's when he was like just under 30,000 followers, subscribers, excuse me, on YouTube. I got in like an inception. That was a write-off because it was as if I was paying a consultant. That's what we were doing in there. We were a bunch of creatives learning and gleaning from Ruslan and what he was doing and growing with
him. That's good. That's good, man.
And all the stuff I learned and gained from there, we just started pitching it through Be Wise. So now, I know we want to talk about self-sustainability. I want to be respectful of the time and not be a chatterbox.
Yeah.
Be Wise NYC. How was that born? First of all, NYC stands for Nurture Your Community. That's what it stands for. It's a play on NYC because that's where I'm from. Yes. But it stands for Nurture Your Community. And in the middle of the physical year of 2019, which was the beginning of the fiscal year of 2020, right? The city of New York, I'm reaching out to them. I'm like, hey, I'm looking, like, I've been duplicating this program. You see, like, I do, like, you see what I could do, right? But I've reached my ceiling here. I'm looking for opportunities to consult and be able to duplicate this across the city. Like, why not? Like, you got me into this little silo. That's great. Now we expanded from 3 schools to 10 schools. Great. But, you know, I'm getting stunted and they didn't want to promote me to become the coordinator over all of it. Like, that was a crazy side story. Don't want to talk about that right now. I reached my ceiling. Let me become a consultant so that I can consult other agencies across the city on how to do this and how to build it from scratch, build coalitions, build these community hubs to do this work. And that'll play into everything else that you do. And it'll align with your vision. My guy, the head of who started the Office of Violence Prevention for the city of New York and who developed the Cure Violence model into the New York City Crisis Management System, which in its inception was only about, there was only, I want to say a dozen sites across the city. Each of the site's budget was $250,000. That's really not a lot of money when poked. Like,
not in New York
to
City.
Run a team and do that type of, and do anti-gun violence work.
To
hire a team of like 10 people. No, like 250,000 is nothing, right?
You're giving them
dropping
stipends.
The bucket. Is now a $30 million budget.
Wow.
And now there are over 27 sites in the city. And then there's also state sites, state, federal government, funded sites, right? They said, hey, check this out. We have a couple of contracts in one of the most notorious schools in the Bronx, in Co-op City. Shout out to Angie Rose. That's her hood. That's her hood. So Harry S. Truman High School campus, we have these contracts. Why don't you take them through your organization? We can work it out. And because Be Wise has its own EIN, we were able to work it out to get the contracts through Be Wise. While we're in the process, we are still going to go the nonprofit route, but the intent was always, I'm going to do this work and work with high-risk youth. All the profits and proceeds from Be Wise is going to support this work, so I don't have to rely on government grants and funds and stuff.
That's smart.
So that's what started it, man. And if we want to talk about self-sustainability, is there's great programs out there, right? We got, you know, youth employment. Summer youth employment is one of the best creations known to man for any urban city, right? Mm-hmm. However, what we started to see was that the youth we were working with, you're talking about, you're seating us with the highest of the high risk. These kids don't know how to talk to their own moms. You expect them to go, even if you give them the direct plug in the job, you expect them to go and meet with someone that is not culturally competent, that's going to talk to them all type of ways, and them not turn up and flip out at that job site.
You got to teach them. You got to teach them those soft skills.
Teach them soft skills, like just how to talk to somebody, how to present yourself, how to be confident in who you are and not to take offense, how to manage your anger, how to practice self-control. Mm-hmm. Now we start getting into some biblical stuff there, right?
Yes.
And just how to operate. So we started, I saw that very early on, even before I transitioned over, and I started developing curriculum on life skills and social skills building. Mm-hmm. What was the kind of like the carrot, I hate to use that word, but like what was the interest gainer for the young people was, this is how we're going to explore it. We're going to do career and academic exploration, exploring all the four ways to make income.
Yep.
Started going into Robert Kiyosaki, four ways to make income.
Got to put that carrot out there. Get them interested. Draw them in.
You can be employed, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with being employed. Let's make you the best employee known to man. And let's look at all the different options of being employed. There's so many different options and fields that you can go into.
Yep.
There's a difference between being employed, self-employed. There's a difference between being self-employed and being a business owner. There is a difference between a business owner and an investor. Mm-hmm. And check this out. You can do one, you can do two, you can do three, or you can do all four of those things at the same time. Let's show you how to fuel the other thing with that thing. So like if you into hair and styling hair, let's start off with being self-employed. You got to rent a chair in somebody else's shop until the day that you decide, if you want to open your own shop. Mm-hmm. Like we started talking about that stuff and investing. And so the biggest need we've always seen, and I love the example you started off with, is like the church was designed and ordered by Christ to meet needs and teach people to rely on Christ.
Yeah.
What it turned into was that we meet needs and then create dependability on the church, on the servants, which overwhelms us, burns us out, and it brings out it doesn't resolve the real root of the issue. When Christ ministered to somebody, and then we could transfer that to the disciples easily. When Christ healed somebody first, he forgave them of their sin first. He healed he met the need of the whole person and their soul first, and then they were able to be productive and get involved with the church and be discipled and be grounded and rooted, right? We fail the community when we don't create opportunities for people to be free to serve.
Yeah.
And this is why I believe church should be the very first place that you can get a job. Mm-hmm. That should be the very first place you can get a job. Cause it's like, yo, what's your needs? Like, did you, you know, you accepted Christ, you want to change your life? Amen. Yeah. Praise God. What are your immediate needs right now? Well, I'm looking for a job. Hey, we got a usher position right now. It's not paying the most. We ain't got room for a full-time usher, but every Sunday we can put you on the roster, and this is how much we can compensate you while we help you develop your resume, see your interests, and see what field we can launch you into.
Yeah. Yeah, we started. We started.
That should be the first.
We have an entrepreneur ministry at our church that we launched last year, and it's thriving. It's growing. You're going to meet the leader of our entrepreneur ministry. He's coming to do a workshop at Flavor Fest New York. And so we have connections of people that are business owners or work at jobs that have job openings to connect them with number one. And we also have this table called Thrive that gives all kinds of resources out. But number two, this guy actually has a connection with Career Source now to create jobs. So he's actually doing job fairs and hiring people to creating jobs now. And it's just amazing. He's going to be creating dozens of jobs within the next 30 days. And he just started doing that the last couple of weeks, but he's already hired several people. And there is funding out there available that can pay for part of that for a season. And then, you know, you got it's kind of like that seed money to get your business going or get that position, that job going. And then that runs out. And then, you know, obviously things are up and running. Then you pay for it as the business owner. But, man, there's all kinds of stuff out there. And the church needs to be on the cutting edge of that kind of stuff, providing those things. At least that's what I believe. I believe that, you know, if you're going to be a church that grows and thrives in this post-pandemic era, you have to be meeting the holistic man, the holistic woman, and helping them in all these different areas. And you don't have to do everything, because I know that can be overwhelming. But you don't want them to be totally self, you don't want them to be depending on you. You want to give them these resources and tools and partner with other people that have them and say, here's the way to do this. Let me show you this. Let me show you what we've learned. Let me show you the system. And then boom, they can become self-sustainable. And a lot of that also happens through mentorship relationships, through classes, through, you know, all kinds of those things. Some of that's organic. Some of that is structured and planned and programmed. And I think you need both and. It doesn't have to be one or the other. But man, we got to wrap up today. But tell me, tell me real quick, bro. Yeah, man, we can keep going for another hour. I got another appointment coming up. They're texting me on my phone right now. Hey, I'm here. But man, really quick before we close out, just tell us what your workshop is going to be focusing on. Give us like a little like 1 minute overview of what you're going to be teaching in New York, bro, at Flavor Fest.
Absolutely, praise God. So the workshop is entitled Common Unity, and what we're going to be exploring is building social enterprise the biblical way, right? We're going to be diving into scripture. I'm taking one out of your playbook. Is I'm going to open up with a spoken word that has complete, like, it's crazy how God gave that to me, but that's going to go directly into the conversation and set the tone for the conversation that we're going to have. We're going to be doing some assessments, like literal assessments. We're going to be delving into people's learning styles. How do you learn, process information, and execute that information? How do you enact that stuff? Then we're going to be doing a kind of personality professional assessment with folks. And we're going to be delving into how did the church flourish after Christ's resurrection? We're going to be delving into Acts 2:42. It says that that not only did they devote themselves to prayer, the reading of the word, and to breaking bread and fellowship, right? But it says that they had no lack. The body of Christ had no lack. They were self-sustainable. Everybody had a role to play. So we're going to be diving into that. And scripture says they added to their number daily. So that's where the growth model, that's what we're going to be delving into. And it's going to be real interactive. It's not going to be me talking from the front, hosting a workshop and spitting game like, yo, this is how I did it. I'll be talking about that as well. We can cover like the overall plan. People in our communities, it is taboo to talk about how much you make. We need to break the stigma of that, because wealthy people talk about how much they make dinner table.
They do.
Or at the bar.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. So we're going to be talking about, look, this is where God took me, and this is how we leveraged and utilized different revenue streams or income to be able to build and expand and to grow this. And we're willing to go over that with you and create a customized plan for you. So you got to pull up. You got to pull up. You ain't register. You ain't get your tickets. Listen, for $42, what is it? $42.99?
$42.99, and that includes lunch.
It includes
we're gonna feed you.
Summit. You got session one. You got lunch. You got session two.
You got workshop sessions, and you got the concert that night as well.
And I'm staying for all of that stuff. So it's like,
and you get all this knowledge from Link. And so you'll be a millionaire because you go to that class with Link.
Hey, wisdom on purpose and wisdom on purpose.
Hey, man, We can't wait to see you guys and be up there with you in your city, man. April 22nd. Yes. Go to flavorfest.org. Tap in. Let some people know. Tag some people if you know that they're in the New York City area. Send them the link as well. But Link, man, go ahead and pray for us, man, as we close out. Pray for all the leaders that are on here, on this live, on IG, on YouTube, or the people watching on the replay
or the podcast platforms. Shout out Randy, Dante from the mob was on here. I don't know if you caught me talking about the mob earlier, bro. Praise God. Lord Father, we present your people to you, Lord. Just asking that you not only give us wisdom, but you give us an increased faith to believe in the work that you have called us to do, that we'll be affirmed in that, that you will give us strength. Lord, your word says that even the youth grow weary, but those that rely on you, God, that we will mount up on wings like eagles. So we're praying for sustenance. We're praying for those that are feeling overwhelmed and burned out and just trying to make things shake, Lord, that you shake the foundations, the very foundations, and reestablish a placeholder, a stage, a platform, whatever that may be, so that we can build off of, Lord. Let us be confident that when you said that we would do even greater things than when you walked this earth, that we would move in that anointing, we would move in that calling, that you not only give us the wisdom and the strategy, but that you also give us a softened heart to be empathetic and compassionate to our brethren, to our brothers and sisters in the faith. Lord, that we will be collaborative, that we would not be divisive, that we would not be caught up on our own egos, but that we will work together to further the gospel message and to build your kingdom here on earth as you intended it, at least until you return to come get us. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, bro, it was amazing to be on here with you, man. I can't wait to see you next weekend and hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to go hang out, man. You got to take me to the fashion district as well, man.
Yes. Yes. We're going to get – I got to put you on to some empanada tacos.
Flavorfest.org. Go check it out. New York City's first on deck. Then we got Los Angeles. Then we got we got Houston, we got Atlanta, we got all these spots that are coming up. It's going to be fire. So we love you guys. Stay tapped in right here. Flavor Fest, let's go.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.